Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, what an incredible week for legendary coaches.
It is absolutely unbelievable that so many things are happening at the same time here in the world of college football and the NFL. And it's one of those things where there's going to be some trickle-down effect, and we don't know yet all of the ramifications. And listen, there's another big one hanging out there, Jim, with Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. And if Jim does, in fact, head to the National Football League, as I and I think many are expecting, again, what does that open up and how does that Michigan job develop as well? It is definitely a very interesting offseason here in the world of college football as well as the NFL.
Well, it reminds me of the couple years ago when you had the USC job and the LSU job openings, and the dominoes fell. It was instead of, well, here's the longtime assistant coach taking over, you went out and got, you know, Kelly from Notre Dame, Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma goes to USC, which creates more job openings. And I think that would be the case here. But let's first of all just start, though, with an understanding of how dominant Nick Saban was for like the last decade and a half. I've got some numbers to share with you, Jeff, that look, we all know Nick Saban's been the dominant coach in college football. I didn't realize until I looked at the numbers just how dominant. His first season, he had a 7-6 record. Okay. That was year one of a 17-year run. The following 16 years, he won double-digit games every single year.
Every single year.
Yes. Yes. Do you know out of those 16 years, how many times he lost more than two games?
Maybe once. Twice?
Once. One time. Okay. And of course, that was a three-loss season, and he was 10-3. Six national championships. Three times he was runner-up. So nine times out of the last 16 seasons, he was either national champion or played for the national championship and finished second. Eight times out of the 16, he was either undefeated or had one loss. Jeff, I don't even know which one of these numbers impresses me the most.
Well, and I'll throw another one in the fact that the SEC is generally regarded, and I think rightfully so, overall as the best conference in college football. And if I'm not mistaken, Jim, I think he only lost an SEC championship game once, and that was that game to Florida. And so when the opportunity has been there with the SEC championship or with the national championship, his teams have responded. And the other thing that I think is really remarkable, it is always difficult to compare one era to another in any sport. I just don't know that it's altogether fair. But I would argue that it is tougher to win now than it's ever been in college football, to win consistently. Because I think there are more big-time players involved trying to get to the ultimate goal, have the national title as their ultimate site. And just the fact that you have, for Nick Saban recently, the four-team college football playoff. There was a time, not that long ago, where you could win a national title without ever facing a top-five team. I don't know how many times that actually happened, but I mean, it wasn't a requirement that you would face. And depending on the conference and the year, right, if you were an SEC team, maybe you were getting a team in the Sugar Bowl that wasn't a great opponent. Good, for sure, but maybe not one of the top three or four teams in the country. Well, with the college football playoffs, you are to win the national title, you are winning two games against elite, top-tier competition. The numbers are remarkable and speak for themselves. It wouldn't matter the era. What he's accomplished is amazing. I would argue that to do it in this era with the, you know, scholarship limits and now the NIL, and I realize that is just more recent, the NIL and the transfer portal stuff, but just with the scholarship limits and the number of schools that are, what I would say, all in on trying to be big time college football, what Nick Saban was able to do and how consistently he did it in this last 17 years and 16 in particular is, to me, amongst the great accomplishments in college athletics history.
And you make a good point, and I do agree with you. Doing it in this era, I think, is more impressive, because there was a time, well, you could have like over 100 scholarship players, and there were a handful of teams in a certain era, Oklahoma in the 50s. Believe it or not, for our youngsters, Army in the 40s, yeah. Okay, had dominant teams. You and I are perhaps old enough to remember, you know, Texas being dominant, Nebraska being dominant. But if you look at those eras, none of them were over like a 16-year span.
Right, yeah. Most of those you're looking at maybe a 7-8-year span, more often like a couple of titles, like Penn State, 82 and 86, you know, a 4 or 5 year period where you're on a roll. But to do it as consistently and as dominantly as Alabama did is really impressive. And to do it, listen, there's a lot of resources. I get it. I mean, Alabama is a blue blood, always has been, always will be, in terms of resources available, fan support, all of that. But there's a lot of programs in the SEC that are in a similar boat in terms of, hey, we are all in on trying to win this thing. And, you know, I would argue, I think there's a lot of teams that are doing some underhanded things, or at least pushing the boundaries, we'll put it, on what is allowed and not allowed. And I think Alabama, you know, Nick Saban ran a clean, good ship. I mean, you're not seeing the allegations against Nick Saban and that Alabama program that you are, say, I don't know, randomly picking somebody out. Oh, let's go Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, Jim.
I like how you just pick a random name. I'm sure you just pick them because they won so recently, nothing else. You're right. And I'm one of those, Jeff, who will argue sometimes about the advantages that an Alabama, an Ohio State, a Georgia have over other folks. In fact, when Nick Saban came out like last year, 2 years ago, critical of Texas A&M for looking to buy the championship, I'm like, you know, Nick, a little hypocritical there when you weren't allowed to at least legally pay players. Alabama had such an advantage over everybody else. They weren't using their money to pay the players, but they were using the money on facilities, their coaching staff, analysts. You know, their coaching staff was larger than anybody else's. They used that money, that financial advantage, in that way. So for him to be critical of somebody else using a financial advantage to pay the players, you know, sorry, Nick Saban, you're being a hypocrite there. However, with that said, you still have, and I'll use Georgia as an example, as one of those teams, Jeff, who had all of those advantages, a great recruiting area, the resources, the support, all of that. But they didn't win it all until Kirby Smart came along. So even having all those resources, it may guarantee you'll be good. It doesn't guarantee you'll be great. And Nick Saban pretty much guaranteed that with Alabama.
Yeah, and I think Nick Saban was just such a steadying force for Alabama. And I do think his former players talk about him the way the Penn State guys that played under Joe Paterno talk about Paterno, in terms of the influence he had on their lives, the way he ran that program, getting the best out of them, teaching them lessons about what to do and not do regarding going to classes, being an outstanding citizen, all of the things that you want and that we idealistically think of college sports being about and promoting. I think Nick Saban genuinely did a good job of at least trying to foster that environment. And I think, again, when you hear the stories of former players, that's what it was. It was about trying to get them to pursue and attain the unattainable, which is excellent.
And also, it's interesting to me, at what point do these coaches reach such a level that just being Nick Saban is enough to be an advantage, you know? And I'll tell a story that our old colleague Ross Tucker told us with a player who eventually came to Penn State, a Pennsylvania kid, but Alabama wanted him. And the player, and I think it was Michael Mennett, told the Alabama assistant, hey, you know, I'm going to be going to Penn State. Well, son, Mr. Saban will be coming over, and you could tell that to him to his face. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, just this, the concept of having to say no to a Nick Saban kind of changes everything, doesn't it, if you're a 16, 17, 18-year-old high school kid.
Yeah, how about it? No, and again, what they were able to establish, and there was no question who the premier program in college football was during his reign at Alabama. And again, there is a lot to be said for being able to establish that and then maintain it to the degree that he did. It is not an easy thing, and it's not nearly as easy as I think people envision. Okay, once you get it rolling, you just keep it rolling. There are a lot of people trying to prevent you from keeping it rolling, and he did it exceedingly well in a very tough competitive era.
He definitely did, Jeff. All right, when we come back, my question to you is going to be, okay, now, what next? Who takes over? Who would want to take over for Nick Saban? Who does it make sense to take over? And is there another job that's as good as the Alabama job if you want to win championships? Jeff has the answers when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking Nick Saban moving on from Alabama. Seems like he's been there almost forever, but more precise, it's been 17 years, Jeff, that he's been there and pretty much dominant the whole time with that Alabama program. So next up is, where does Alabama go from here? I don't know for sure, but I don't think there's an heir apparent on the coaching staff.
No, I think Jimbo Fisher, Jim, is where Alabama needs to go. I think would make the most sense to everybody else competing against Alabama and trying to have Alabama drop off a little bit. That would be my strong recommendation, is go get Jimbo Fisher if you're Alabama. I don't think, because of what that job entails, even if there's somebody that they think would be deserving, I cannot imagine with everything that is involved now with that job, that you can bring in somebody that isn't a head coach and doesn't have big time head coaching experience somewhere else. I would be shocked. I mean, I guess obviously they can, but I just think that job, you need somebody who has a proven head coaching track record. And I don't even mean proven at like the MAC level, and not that, I mean, there might be a great coach there. I think they need somebody, and we'll go get somebody who has big time success already at a Power Five school. That to me is just where Alabama is.
Anyway, well, I agree with you, and there's nobody who makes sense. Anyone who's been like a coordinator at Alabama and had any success, they've already moved on to be a head coach elsewhere. So there isn't that natural guy in waiting.
No, and I am amused a little bit by the James Franklin speculation that seemed to come out immediately. One, I'm not sure James, even if offered, and I don't think there's much, if any, chance that he's going to be offered, but I just think he has a good situation here at Penn State, and I think he knows it. And while there's certainly additional resources and all of that at Alabama, there is also a tremendous amount of pressure if you go to Alabama. So I just don't see that as a viable possibility. I do think, like, Dan Lanning seems like that one makes sense to me from Alabama's perspective. And I think Dan Lanning, I think it would make sense from his perspective as well. Like, and listen, Lane Kiffin, I think, makes a lot of sense. Like, you need somebody that has, to go back to the old presidential term, you need somebody with some gravitas coming in there that is comfortable in their own skin, has a proven track record, that can come in. And I'm not Bear Bryant, I'm not Nick Saban, I'm me, but we're going to do okay with my style. Like, let us get this established and going here. And I think there's only a handful of guys out there that I think the Alabama fan base would be like, okay, yep, this is our guy, and that can really come in feeling comfortable and confident about the situation.
You're right. The game has changed so much, even in just the last couple of years, how you handle the portal, NIL, all of those things are now so important, plus just having, as you put it, the gravitas to be a name. I talked earlier about, you know, Nick Saban having that name value. If Nick Saban knocks on your door as a high school player, you're going to answer the door and at least talk to him. And who do you have? I'm not sure an assistant could do that. Now, if you have, what's interesting is some of these names that came out there. Let's talk about a couple of them. Over the last so many years, you heard the names Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart because of their associations to Alabama. It's interesting. My response to those two names is, I don't think they would want Dabo Swinney anymore. 5 years ago, maybe. And now Kirby, because I don't think Dabo's done well enough over the last couple of years. And Kirby Smart, I think, has done too well over the last couple of years to have an interest.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on Kirby. Like, I think Kirby Smart's looking at this like, hey, this is my opportunity to really take control of the SEC and dominate it, right? Like, and obviously, I mean, you know, Texas and Oklahoma coming in. And I'll tell you, Jim, I mean, I haven't seen I'm sure it has been speculated. I haven't seen it in the articles I've read here, but I mean, Steve Sarkisian has got to be at least worth the phone call, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously in a good situation with Texas, but that is not Alabama. And with the history there, I mean, that is a guy that can come in feeling comfortable in his own skin. And I think, you know, with any of these high profile guys, Alabama is one of the few schools where you're like, yeah, it doesn't matter what the buyout is, they can do it. And so I mean, I don't rule anybody out that's out there in college football. And I'm also kind of with you on the Dabo Swinney. I just don't know that right at the moment that is a name that would get Alabama fans fired up. I don't know that Swinney couldn't come in and do a great job and take Alabama, you know, or keep it at the heights that it's been at. But I don't know that at least at first blush, that is a hire that feels instinctively like the splash that Alabama, I would think, is looking for. Like Lanning, to me, yes, that has that type of feel. You know, Kiffin and Sarkisian will be interesting because my guess is there will be some that will be fired up in the fan base. But I think with either of them, there's going to be some fans that are like, oh, I don't know. Do we want that to be our guy? You know, Norvell is another interesting one coming from Florida State. And I will say if Norvell gets it, then that how this trickles down and the impact that this has in college football, because I do think Florida State would be a very attractive job for a whole lot of coaches if it comes open. And it'll be interesting then to see kind of how that starts the cascade of coaching changes throughout the college ranks.
Well, you're right. No, any of these names, though, would create that type of thing. Now, if let's, you know, eliminate Kirby Smart, Dabo. I just don't see them having the job. I have seen Sarkisian's name brought up, and I think the fact Jeff, if you have a guy who's done it at another premier program, that's going to be attractive. What Sarkisian did with Texas is going to be impressive. What Norvell did with Florida State is going to carry weight. The guy, though, that it does, you mentioned Dan Lanning from Oregon. He does have Southeast Conference ties. He seems to be able to handle the recruiting and the NIL and the things that came along with being the Oregon coach. Plus, he's young enough to be there for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, I'm like, if you pin me down and who do I think, and I have obviously no inside info, and I think there's, you know, this is going to be a process. Like, they need to get a lot of things figured out in fairly short order here for Alabama. But to me, Lanning feels like the most likely and maybe the best overall fit right now in terms of, hey, I big time background, big time success, and a guy that just feels like he could kind of handle and navigate being the guy after the guy, and also have, as you said, I think a very long, bright future. I do think part of what Alabama wants is that continuity, and Lanning to me is a guy that feels like he would provide that. And I just think even personality-wise, like he just feels like a guy that can handle everything, not get too shaken if, you know, they have a couple of losses that first season, not get too high if they go out and win a national championship that first year. Like, he just feels to me, from the outside looking in, that feels like the guy that they'll go to and maybe should go to moving forward.
Jeff, and I want to phrase this question correctly. I want to say, how attractive is the job? Obviously, it's Alabama. They're used to winning national championship. You're going to have all the resources. You have all that going for you. But the but is you're following a legend. How in the you're not going to improve on what's been done. You could have a Hall of Fame career and still come up short in comparison.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there any other school where you could go and say when be at a school for two decades, win five national titles, people would look at you like, yeah, you're pretty good, but you're not one of our top two coaches. And legitimately, that would be the case at Alabama. Again, I do think part of the equation here is you've got to find somebody that is yes, wants that high level of success and that you think can sustain it, but also has an ego in check to enough that it's like, hey, I get it. Like Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, that is Alabama. I need to be my own person. And really, you know, I think James Franklin, what he's done at Penn State is remarkable in that regard. It is not easy. And I realize Franklin wasn't immediately the successor, but he's the successor to Joe Paterno. And I think he has handled and navigated that terrain very, very well at Penn State. It is not easy to do. And it is a, it takes a special person. And again, I don't know Dan Lanning, obviously, personally, but boy, he sure seems like the guy that can handle that. That, yep, I will carve out my own success. I don't need to prove myself and compare myself to the ghosts of Alabama coaches past, but I'm okay with the high level of or high standard of excellence that the program has.
There is no doubt there is going to be pressure on that guy. You don't follow up Nick Saban and not have that kind of pressure to succeed and succeed right away and succeed big time. You brought up James Franklin. I want to talk to you about James Franklin in the context of these different coaching jobs. We'll do that when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. This is quarter number three of our show. And Jeff, when we wrapped up quarter number two, and this has been our Nick Saban show, talking about Saban and now the aftermath and where does Alabama go? And you mentioned Dan Lanning. I'm with you. I think he makes the most sense. His background, his age, his success at Oregon, all of those things. But the question comes up is, how do you follow a legend? And there's the old saying, you know, you don't want to follow the legend. You want to follow the guy who followed the legend. That's the way to do it. And, you know, I first heard that in reference to John Wooden years ago at UCLA. And I think they're still looking for the guy to follow the guy to follow the guy and so on. Same thing at Alabama. They had several iterations first after Bear Bryant before they got to Nick Saban. So there's that kind of pressure. You brought up James Franklin, and even though he wasn't right after Joe Paterno, and I'm choosing my words carefully here, the advantage that he had was what took place, the scandal, which lowered the level of expectations so immensely. Sure. But I think that's also part of the James Franklin story of why he should be admired and he accomplished so much here at Penn State. But it does lead to the question, a couple years ago when the USC job was open, it seemed like a great fit for James Franklin. And it seemed like a logical place for him to go. It seemed logical that he might have interest in that. Do you think I don't think there's any way in the world Alabama would offer him the job. If they did, though, how interested do you think he would be?
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't get the sense that there would be a great deal of interest. I mean, you'd have to be intrigued, right? You're talking about arguably right now, the historically and now, the greatest program in college football. It's certainly on the very short list of schools you'd discuss as such. But I really think with what Penn State has administratively right now, with Pat Kraft as the AD, and the direction that I think James Franklin rightfully feels he has this program pulling in, heading into the next phase here of the 12-team playoff and the 18-team conference. I think James Franklin is excited about that challenge. I don't know for sure. I'd have to look. I mean, obviously, Alabama, you would get more money than Penn State. When you factor in cost of living and all of that, you know, I'm guessing that it's pretty comparable down there in the Tuscaloosa area in terms of the cost of living. So, yeah, I think it would be a substantial pay increase. It also would be substantially more pressure. And while I think the Big Ten is very good and will be more competitive here with the four former Pac-12 teams now in the conference, I also do think James Franklin has a nice little area that he can carve out on the recruiting front here that I think is more difficult to carve out or continue at Alabama. I mean, I think when you weigh everything, you know, even though there's always the folks that are harping that Penn State needs to cut bait, the truth is James Franklin is very, very secure in his job, at least right now, at Penn State. And I think there's something to be said for that. So I don't know that there would be a great deal of interest. Like, I don't know that it would be automatic for sure if Alabama did offer him. And I'm with you. I think there's next to zero chance that that happens. But if you play out the hypothetical, I don't think it's an automatic, oh, yes, Alabama came calling, I'm out of here. I think there would be a long, hard discussion, and I'm not so sure that at the end of that discussion, James Franklin wouldn't opt to stay here in Happy Valley anyway.
And I think you could have that same conversation with almost any other of these high-level candidates. Now, to me, at that highest level is Kirby Smart. I cannot see him leaving Georgia in the situation he has there. It's obvious he can win national championships there. He already has. The recruiting base in Georgia is phenomenal. It's just crazy how good it is. My question is, like, how far down the pecking order before the pros outweigh the cons? You know, you mentioned Sarkisian at Texas. You know, he's kind of creating a team that could probably be competitive year after year, great recruiting base, and not take on that pressure of being the guy who follows up Saban.
Yeah, and I think the NIL situation at Texas is phenomenal. I mean, I don't know that I'm with you. I don't know that it would make to me, it would make no sense for Kirby Smart, because I think Georgia has now passed Alabama as the premier program here in the SEC. And listen, I think Georgia is competitive enough that, you know, Kirby may play, if they do offer, he may be able to play a little bit of gamesmanship and get a little more money squeezed out of Georgia to stay there. But I would not see on the surface the advantage for Kirby Smart to move to Alabama. I think if anything, he's looking at it as, man, this is an opportunity to really take the Georgia job and run with it even further, because no matter who it is that comes in at Alabama, they're not Nick Saban, and it is going to be really hard to sustain even the success of the last 3 years where they haven't won national titles. And again, Georgia is in a great position right now to just keep the train rolling. So that one doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Sarkisian, I think there would be interest there. And I think, again, it would be a long discussion, but I'm kind of with you. I just think he has things rolling here at Texas and kind of the same boat where it's like, hey, I think this is our opportunity at Texas with me in charge to kind of surpass Alabama and be one of the top two or three programs, and maybe be the program that leads the SEC into this next era of college football. So, I mean, I wouldn't rule out either, but I would be surprised if either left the situations they have to take this Alabama job right now with the pressure that comes with it in being the guy that immediately succeeds Nick Saban.
Jeff, you mentioned in your talk there about Kirby Smart maybe just using the Alabama job as leverage to get more from Georgia. I'm shocked. Head coaches do that?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody around here or their agents would do it, but, you know, it happens at places. I've heard about this occurring at some places. I know it is. It's very surprising.
It really is. Well, you know, when you go through the list of names, then as we talk about it, I keep coming back to Dan Lanning. And what I find fascinating, and those of us longtime followers of Penn State football are intrigued by this. Do you know that there was a Dan Lanning sighting in Tuscaloosa?
I heard that his daughter signed a volleyball scholarship and is all ready to play there. I have no doubt that the sightings of many of these coaches are already starting in the Tuscaloosa area.
I believe you are right. Now, with the whole thing, you know, we talk about Alabama and the quality of the job. I think the only downside to it is that the pressure of going in there after Nick Saban, after obviously a legend who has set the bar so high. I was curious about that. What are the other handful of jobs that you would put up there like Alabama?
You know, there are not a lot right now in terms of the recent success along with the long-term tradition and obviously the fan base and resources and all of that. I mean, Texas feels like, I will say Sarkisian left that Texas job to take Alabama. Like then that Texas job becomes a fascinating hire as well, where, again, I think the same big names that we're talking about would be in play here, and maybe even more names because, you know, that is an opportunity with, I think, all the resources and history and tradition without the immediate pressure or the comparison of one of the all-time legends, maybe the most legendary figure in the sport, in Nick Saban. So, you know, I honestly don't know that there is any job that I would compare, like, really with Alabama. Ohio State obviously would be very high up there on that list. I think USC, even despite the recent performances, is certainly high on that list. Texas, Georgia right now would be the one that would be probably most comparable. But again, historically, in terms of the overall national titles and the tradition of consistently winning, I really don't know that there is anything in the moment comparable to Alabama. One name that is intriguing, and again, I don't think Alabama would head that direction just because, again, I don't know that it's enough of a splash name. But Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame, talking about historic success in college football. But I don't know that Notre Dame, there is all of the pressure there, but not quite, I think, the resources or the fan support. And it's a different kind of pressure. And especially as long as Notre Dame remains an independent, I mean, it is, that is not a fun pressure to have. In terms of, man, we have to win to kind of sustain our athletic department and our athletic programs right now. But, you know, that would be another intriguing name to come out there. But, you know, Oregon has a ton of resources and obviously recent success. But again, I don't know that there's the pressure there to win at the highest level that there is at Alabama. And even though there's financial support, I don't think there's quite the fan base at a place like Oregon. I mean, if you go through an 8-4 season in Oregon, I don't know that they're filling that stadium the next year. You can go a decade. Well, they wouldn't allow it. But I mean, if you went a decade of struggles at Alabama, they're still coming out and filling that stadium because they're expecting to see a winner soon.
But if you have a decade of struggles at Alabama, you're not going to have a decade of work. You will be long gone. All right, Jeff, when we get back, I want to talk to you about mentioning Notre Dame. I want to talk to you about high-profile coaches changing from high-profile job to high-profile job. We'll do that when we get back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number 4 on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number 4. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We're talking about first Nick Saban and then a successor. And whoever is the successor to Saban creates another situation where we'll need a successor to that guy. Because if Alabama goes high profile, which we both think they will, that's going to create another opening. But before we get there, I do want to ask you, during the break, Jeff, we were talking about, how does James Franklin's name get out there with the national writer throwing out 4 or 5 names as possibilities, and James Franklin gets out there? I'll ask you, how does that happen, Jeff?
I mean, there's a bunch of things that can come in play. And listen, it is possible that somebody with the Alabama search reached out and said, hey, just so you know, we're looking at James Franklin as one of our possibilities. That feels unlikely. What feels more likely is an agent reaching out and saying, you know, my client would be a guy that would be interested in that job. And I think with our track record, that would make some sense. I think that is more likely. I also think, listen, you take a look around the national landscape, you know, the Alabama job is a big, attractive job. And I think some of these names, like, automatically, it's obvious that, yeah, you'd at least throw it into the hopper. A Lane Kiffin, a Steve Sarkisian, a Dan Lanning for sure. I mean, those are, again, it doesn't take a lot of background or extensive research to say, yeah, Alabama's probably going to at least reach out and have a conversation with some of these guys.
Agreed. And you brought up another name that I thought was interesting, Marcus Freeman, who's the current coach at Notre Dame. And it's fascinating because you brought the name up. I told you also, I actually just had his information already up on my computer because his name came up. And I'm curious how these things happen. And I'm not sure. His 2 years coaching there, he lost 4 games and he lost 3 games in the 2 years. He's a pretty young guy. He was in the right place at the right time when Kelly left Notre Dame. Is that really a resume that says screams Alabama coach?
I do not believe it does. And I think Marcus Freeman has even less of a chance than James Franklin of being not only the next coach, but being on the short list of finalists here for the Alabama job. And again, it has nothing to do. Marcus Freeman may go on and be one of the all-time legendary figures in coaching. James Franklin, we'd love to see it, could get on a run here at Penn State and take Penn State to new heights. But again, I think Alabama is looking for the proven track record so far that, hey, we can take a Power 5 program and get them, at least right on the cusp of being great. And I think that's what they're looking for, and I think some ties to the SEC are important, not an end-all be-all, but I think that is important as another selling point for the next head coach of Alabama. And I just think the biggest thing is that Alabama job is such a huge undertaking, and again, it is very rewarding. There are a lot of huge advantages that you have as Alabama head coach that aren't at very many other places, maybe not at any other places, but there is also a ton of expectation and of things that you have to keep track of and understand. This is the Alabama way, if you will, and it is not an easy assignment. And truthfully, Jim, these days there is not an easy assignment in college football. I have to wonder if part of why Nick Saban, and I get it, he's at retirement age. This is not shocking that a coach at 72 in good health would say, hey, I want to go enjoy the rest of my life. I've done all I can do in the sport. Makes perfect sense. But it also makes perfect sense with the NIL stuff and with the transfer portal stuff, and you don't know how all of this is going to ultimately settle out, that, you know what, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I've been used to. I just want out. I want to be done with it. And I have to believe that that at least factored in to Nick Saban's decision. I mean, he's not been real secretive about the fact that he does not love the direction that college football or intercollegiate athletics is heading right now.
I'm with you. I think that's a huge part of his decision. Let's talk about, though, the guys who are possibilities for the job. But I wonder how smart a decision it is to take the kind of job if you're already in a pretty good position. Let me explain. Lincoln Riley had everything going for him at Oklahoma. Everything was going great. Was the grass greener at USC? It may ultimately be greener, but right now, after a couple years, Jeff, don't think so. I mean, he lost five games this year with a Heisman Trophy quarterback.
Yep.
So, you know, didn't exactly work out that way. Kelly went to LSU. Hey, I've got a much better chance of winning a national championship there. Well, guess what? There are fans who are already thinking about the next head coach. It's not necessarily easy to change jobs. And I'm certainly, if this were, if you're an assistant coach somewhere, hey, the payday, you're making 10 times as much. But if you're going from a good head coaching job, say, at, let's use Dan Lanning as the example. He's at Oregon, and I think he's the primary candidate. And Jeff, it wouldn't stun me if he were hired by the time people listen to our podcast here.
Yeah.
Or our radio show. But is it really a smart decision to make a change if you already are in a pretty good position?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's debatable. I think, you know, you look at Jimbo Fisher would be another one. And listen, on a smaller scale, but Scott Frost going to Nebraska after the success he had at Central Florida, I thought, and I think most did, that, man, that is a slam dunk. That is success guaranteed coming Nebraska's way. I will say there are just so many variables, and even more so now in college football, that transfer of success is not guaranteed. And it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are, how good of a system you have, all of that stuff. You can be a great recruiter. Sometimes it just doesn't work, and there's not a good explanation for it. I'm still scratching my head at Scott Frost and Nebraska and how that didn't work. Dan Lanning, if he does go to Alabama or any of the other coaches we mentioned, yeah, there is no guarantee that success is going to be there. I do think, you know, for a lot of these coaches, yeah, you want to test the waters that you perceive as the premier program in your sport. But just like trying to become the Lakers head coach in the NBA or the Green Bay Packers or Pittsburgh Steelers coach in the NFL, like, they're great jobs. They are great positions, but there is a lot of pressure and there is not a guarantee of success, even if you've been successful elsewhere. And sometimes it's not explicable. I mean, sometimes it is. It's like, okay, you weren't tight enough with the reins. You weren't good enough at reaching out to the fan base. But sometimes it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that didn't work out. I think that guy's still a great coach, and you're just left scratching your head. There are so many moving parts to college football programs and to what makes them successful.
Also, Jeff, you know, I'll go the other way that sometimes you can't figure out why it failed or it's just bad luck. I think sometimes it's good luck to have success. You know, Jimbo Fisher, you mentioned leaving Florida State, and I'm not the first one who brought this up, but look up his record when he had Jameis Winston as his quarterback versus when he did.
Yep.
And it's the same way, you know, at Clemson, he had two, iconic quarterbacks who were NFL quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. That's when he won national championships.
Well, and listen, I mean, Bill Belichick is, I think, rightfully considered the greatest coach in NFL history. How is his record without Tom Brady, whether it was with Cleveland or New England? There's a lot of things that matter, and quarterback play is certainly in this day and age a big part of it, getting that right. And I think, you know, bringing it back home to Penn State, I mean, I think you could argue that James Franklin has had great success here, but part of the equation has been they have not had that elite quarterback, like top five in the country quarterback, who has come through. Quarterback play has been good. Trace McSorley was a fantastic story, did very well. Obviously, Sean Clifford, and we have high hopes for Drew Aller, but we haven't seen that guy step in and be a Trevor Lawrence, a Deshaun Watson, a Jalen Milroe, as he turned it around this season, yet here at Penn State. And yeah, that stuff matters. That is part of the equation.
And the thing is, which is also fascinating, you mentioned Milroe at Alabama, but there was a time in this year where he certainly didn't look like your five-star elite quarterback. And credit to Nick Saban for getting that out of him. So, you know, it goes a couple different ways. End of the day, I see Dan Lanning as the guy who just kind of threads the needle of high profile enough, but not too high profile where he has a long history at his current school. That would make, you know, my argument of why give up a really good situation, you know, with your fingers crossed that it might be even better, when it could go the other way on you. He's only had 2 years at Oregon, has the SEC background, has the age thing. After him, I know we mentioned a couple other names like Sarkisian and Kiffin, but I'm not sure they're the right fit the way Lanning is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think both of them would have strong supporters, but I think both of them also would have detractors. I'm talking about within the Alabama fan base and even within the coaching search. And actually, I think kind of the same thing with Mike Norvell. While I kind of like the way I'm in the minority, I like the way he handled the disrespect that I think Florida State got this season. But I don't know that Alabama fans are going to be all that thrilled to have Norvell as the successor here to Saban either.
All right, Jeff, we're out of time on the Nick Saban Show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.